In the past few months, many Americans dealing with the difficult economy have taken part in some of the largest domestic protest movements in recent history. What began as Occupy Wall Street spread from coast to coast. Demonstrators protested economic inequality and injustice, foreclosures and bank bailouts. It could all be summed up in one rallying cry.
We are the 99%! We are the 99%!
But if Occupy had a slogan, it doesn't necessarily have a moment, one image to define it in people's minds. And that's something that separates it from other big movements in our past, like this one from 1968. It was the 200-meter dash at the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. San Jose State University student John Carlos took third place to fellow American Tommy Smith. When they stepped to the podium to accept their medals, they raised their fists in a Black Power salute. The result was a scandal and an image that became iconic to the civil rights movement.
Based on the fact it was the greatest Olympics of all time, based on the fact that it was the first time the Olympics was in Technicolor, based on the fact that the Olympic Games was shown around the world for the first time, all of the components came together to make this a remarkable statement to society in terms of saying we can do a better job.
That's John Carlos. Now, more than 40 years later, he's become very involved with the Occupy movement, speaking at general assemblies and participating in actions around the country. I sat down with him to ask him why he got involved with this movement.
Because I felt it was necessary. You know, I didn't get involved here in 2011. I got involved in 1968, you know, 43 years ago. The same fight that they have today is the fight that we had back then. Only difference is that the base have gotten bigger, you know, and in other words, in the 60s, we were concerned about people of color that was having a rough time economically or socially or politically or in housing or medical. We were concerned about education for those individuals back then. And now the circle has grown immensely to the point where it affects all ethnic groups now, irregardless of what your ethnic background is. I even go so far as to say, irregardless of what your nationality is, because this Occupy Wall Street is occupying the world right now. Everyone is concerned about the same issues that we were concerned about then. You know, we were concerned about buying a house. Now people have a concern about losing their house. We're concerned about whether we were going to be able to get into school. Now they have a concern about whether we're going to be able to afford to go to school. We was concerned about finding a job. Now they're concerned about finding a job. And not only that, they're concerned about the fact that they keep getting these letters in the mail talking about pay your student loans. So many of those concerns are the same concerns and maybe have an attitude to it. And it looks like to me, if we don't have Occupy the world, so to speak, it looked like places that I've gone around the world and saw where they had castles with gold on them, marble walls and marble floors and gold chandeliers, and come outside and walk 2 yards and they got little sugar shacks and shimmies all around this area. And it looks like if the people don't stand up, I could see America becoming that way one day as well.
That's John Carlos. He's co-author of the new book, John Carlos, The Sports Moment That Changed the World. Bring me back to that moment at the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City when you and Tommy Smith raised your fists in the air.
Well, it was a very energetic, high-intensity situation from within the field and in the stands. And then at the same time, the competition was enormous in terms of the competitorship, the greatness of the athletes that was there in those particular games. And then at the same time, we had overhead the swirling of a potential boycott that was still in the minds of many people, although we were at the games. And then, boom, here Tommy Smith and John Carlos get together and put our minds together and feel that, hey, you know, the fact that the boycott was called off, we felt it was necessary to still make a statement for the concerns that we have for society.
Knowing that this is going to be watched by so many people, did you have any idea about the significance of that through history?
I think I had perspective from the time I was born into the world relative to, you know, the idea that I had that I could make a difference and people could respond based on what they see me do. Because I've been doing things like that all my life. It just so happens that the Olympic movement that I became involved in was such a spectacle that it was seen around the world.
Let's look ahead now to what's going on here with the Occupy movement taking place all around the country and around the world. You've become involved with that. As you say, you've been kind of involved with that throughout your entire life. What do you see as the similarities or differences between the development of that movement and the movements that were taking place in the late 60s?
you know, we had a concern in the 60s as, like I say, people of color. That concern has multiplied to the point where it's not just people of color anymore, it's people of the world right now that have this concern, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in, you know, Afghanistan, or wherever the case may be. Many people right now are looking for social justice. They're tired of dictatorship. They're tired of the big five controlling and running their lives.
But do you see the way that they're manifesting their protests then being different or similar to the protests that took place in the 60s?
Well, anytime you come together unified, it's the same. It's about unification and having an understanding that we understand what we're fighting for. We understand who the enemy is. But I see these individuals stopping by Occupy when they get off work or when they're out to lunch, stopping by to look for 15 minutes or 20 minutes as to what's taking place. And I realize through this 15 minutes or this half an hour that I'm in the same boat as these people here. I might have a job, but my job is threatened. I might have a union, but my union might be gone tomorrow. I might have a house, but my mortgage is up for foreclosure. So many of these individuals are there watching, and every day they come back is building courage for them to say, I'm going to walk into this soup bowl. I'm going to eat the soup that these people are eating because I have a full understanding as to why they're out there now.
That's John Carlos, co-author of the new book, John Carlos, The Sports Moment That Changed the World. Where, being a lifelong activist, would you think the Occupy movement should go from here? How should it develop?
I think, first of all, we need to develop a line of communication to the point where we have one blanket statement that represents all of us, from Wisconsin to New York, from New York to Oakland, from Oakland to Egypt, to the point where we all are on the same page, and they can't use us or fragment us to the point where they say, well, you guys are different than what's happening in New York. Your fight is different, or your fight is different than what's happening in Wisconsin. We need to line ourselves up and have a steel fence in front of us to say we are one and the same quest that we have. I think that's the biggest thing that we can do. The second thing that I think is we have to understand that we're in this game. Now, how do you go about winning a game? You have to know the game rules in order to be a winner. For instance, down there in Oakland, when they took that trash bin and they took it and put it out in the center of the street and created this fire 8 feet tall, game rules state, now we have probable cause to come in and crack your head or crack anybody's head because we went against the game rules.
You mean the police had that?
The police. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude that they have or the government had. But yet and still, those individuals that was at Davis, when they sat there, humble, peace-loving, you understand, on their knees, sitting there, never created a ruckus, and then you see the law enforcement go and spray them with the mace or the pepper spray or what have you. That sends a signal to the world that these individuals didn't break no game rules. They didn't do anything wrong other than to have the opportunity to express their First Amendment rights.
That's John Carlos, co-author of the new book, John Carlos, A Sports Moment That Changed the World, the sports moment being the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City, when he and Tommy Smith held their fists up in solidarity for human rights. So one thing that strikes me in talking with you, and why I'm really interested in talking with you about the Occupy movement right now, is that your book is The Sports Moment That Changed the World. It is an iconic moment in protest history, in the American history of protest. The Occupy movement doesn't have such a moment. It doesn't have an identified leader like that, like you. Do you think that it needs that kind of moment?
Well, the identified leader in the Occupy movement would be the Occupy movement coming together as one, as I stated earlier. It don't have to have a figurehead.
Would it be just more powerful if it did? If it had a Martin Luther King Jr. who was leading
the way?
I
don't know if it was as necessary saying they have to have a leader, per se, as long as they have the same line of defense. You understand? Because that in itself, that statement, Occupy, and they say Occupy Wall Street, or Occupy Oakland, or Occupy San Francisco. My attitude is Occupy the world. And that in itself sets a consensus for all the people to realize that this is a universal claim that we have. It's not one individual or one state or one city that has this vibe and this feeling that now is the time for us to step up because enough is enough. No one individual can carry that load. It has to be all individuals to come together to be one individual to carry that load.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. This is not a fight that we're going to lose or win overnight. this is a fight that's going to be long gone on. It's a fight that our kids going to probably have to endure. You know, like we had a discussion last night at Laney Junior College, and we were sitting back, and I remember Angela Davis making a statement about the fact that when we were there in the 60s, we thought that based on this fight or this war that we had, this thing will be surpassed in another 3-4 years, and we will change the world. Here we are 43 years later, and we're still at the same level. But with the same level we in, it's still more people that's conscious as to what we need to do as a people to change society. Whereas before that time, maybe we didn't have that nucleus that we have today.